Acts chapter 2. And that's where we're going to begin this morning. Actually, Acts chapter 1. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you, Father, that as we study, the Holy Spirit teaches us. Holy Spirit, meet each one of us right where we're at today and give us your truth and revelation today about Pentecost. In Jesus' name, amen. There's so much that we could teach about Pentecost, but this morning I've chosen to narrow in my focus to the power of the Holy Spirit and what actually happened on the day of Pentecost. So let's begin reading in Acts chapter 1. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So Jesus prophesied the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Now that word power comes from the Greek word 1411, and it's dunamis. And it's the word from which we get our English word dynamite. And I know you've probably heard this before, but I want you to think about this. Dunamis is the release of energy when something is lit and then explodes. You know, dynamite just sitting by itself is not powerful, but it's when it is ignited and lit that you receive the energy and the power from the dynamite. How many remember those old movies where they had the long fusing away from the dynamite? We could, so, you know, it's burning and someone's got to put that out. Explosives are so different nowadays. But dynamite, it's capable of anything. This is the kind of power that Jesus was talking about. And he said, "God is giving you this power to be witnesses in Jerusalem." Well, Jerusalem was their hometown. And then he said, "In Judea." Well, Judea would involve the region that they were in. And then he said, "Samaria." Well, Samaria was the heathen. It was the heathen. And then he said, "And to the end of the earth." So God was saying, "I am giving you power to be witnesses in your town, in your region, in your to the unsaved, to the heathen, to the lost, and also to the ends of the world." That's power. We receive power. Remember, it is the release of energy when something is lit and then explodes. This is the power that hit the people that day. There were 120 believers who were gathered in the upper room. They followed the instructions that Jesus had given. And in many of the commentaries that I've read, it says there were 500 people who heard the instruction. But 380 of them decided that they had something else to do. They were neglecting or, you know, got away from gathering together with the people of God. But thank God for the 120, because God was about to give them the power that they needed to facilitate the kingdom of God upon the earth. Christ had come to the earth and he started a campaign. A campaign is a series of connected activities to get or do something, organized action to obtain a purpose, a series of related military operations. There are military campaigns. There are political campaigns. In other words, they organize and act to obtain their purpose. They're connecting for activities and workers to get something done. Jesus Christ came and introduced the campaign that he was establishing in the earth, which is the kingdom of God. From Tim Sheets' book, Angel Armies, this book was just written 2016. How many have heard of Angel Armies? It's an excellent book to understand our role in establishing the kingdom of God in the earth today. Anyway, he says, we as believers must be open and yearning for the power of the Holy Spirit to operate through our lives to extend the kingdom of God on earth as did the 120 in the upper room so that a new campaign can be carried out. Now, just to establish this doctrine of the kingdom of God, you might want to write down these scriptures. I'm just going to read them quickly. But Matthew 4:23 says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. That's Matthew 4:23. If you look at Matthew 4:17, it says, when Jesus came out of the wilderness, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in Matthew 6:10, Jesus prayed, your kingdom come and your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus was all about his Father's business and about establishing the kingdom of God. And he was gathering together disciples and people. Well, everyone would be a disciple because a disciple is a follower of Christ. That's what a Christian is. We follow Christ and his teachings. And he was gathering people together to establish a group of people to carry on this campaign of establishing the kingdom of God. And he knew that they needed the same power that Jesus Christ had, because Jesus Christ received the Holy Ghost at baptism. The Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. Do you remember? And he knew that each one of us would need that same power of the Holy Spirit to carry out the kingdom of God and establishing his will in the earth. Because God has a purpose for every one of us sitting in this place today. He has a purpose for every one of us in the body of Christ to fulfill his orders for the kingdom. Tell somebody it's all about Jesus. So let's talk about the kingdom of God, because there is a spiritual realm extended on earth, and it's extended in three ways. If you're wondering how this kingdom works, number one, it's through the New Testament church that trains its saints. Training the saints. Number one for training the saints is being able to hear the voice of the Lord and have a personal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is our main purpose at River of Life, is helping people develop a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ so they hear his voice and no other voice will they follow. All right, and then the second thing is through the Holy Spirit who is one with Christ and the Father. You see, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and we receive the Holy Spirit and we become one because the Spirit of God dwells in us. Do you realize the explosive power that is on the inside of each one of you? It isn't a weak power. It is an explosive, dunamis power of the Holy Spirit that God wants to ignite, set you on fire for God's purposes to establish the kingdom of God. How do we do that? By being witnesses. Sometimes we're witnesses by keeping our mouth shut and just living the life. All right, I see people doing this. Sometimes we are actually sharing the word of God. And how God used me the most is to give an encouraging word. Just give an encouraging word. Give a smile, an encouraging word. Someone who is wore out in the store trying to lift something or move something or work with their children, give them an encouraging word and give them a hand. We need more kindness in America. Kind acts is going to, we should probably do a whole teaching series on kindness. Do you know God wired us to be kind? God wired us for love. We're created in the image of God, and God is love. And God is kind. He helps us when we don't even deserve it. Has anybody been helped when they really didn't deserve the help from God? He came through for us even though we had made a decision that really we had really messed up. He didn't condemn us. He loved us and reached out to us. Can you imagine how powerful the church would be in America if every Christian was doing that? You know, that is how we connect heaven to earth. That's how we do it. It's not difficult. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out how to do this. God kept it really simple because each one of us are kingdom connectors. Then the third thing is through organized network of potentially billions of angels encamped around the earth, of which Christ is the leader. Christ is the head over every power and authority. I'm going to read to you Colossians 1:18. And the scripture says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he may be preeminent in all things." And Colossians 2:10, "And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." Let that soak in a minute, everyone. You are complete in him. Say, "I am complete in Jesus." Say it again. "I am complete in Jesus." You know, most of the time we're telling ourselves how incomplete we are, how inadequate we are. Is that true? How disqualified we are. But God's word says, "You are complete in him who is head of all," say all, "principality and power." So Jesus is the preeminent one. He's above all powers and might and dominions. And this refers to both angelic powers and demonic powers. Consider this morning God's principalities and powers that are at work in the earth. In Ephesians 6:12, it's clear that we have demonic principalities and dominions. The scripture says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the world's rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places." One thing we must remember is that Satan always counterfeits God. God has an organized kingdom in operation and in rank that is working over our territory, but Satan will always come in with a counterfeit. There is a natural realm and there is a spiritual realm. Let's take a look at this morning in 2 Kings 6. Is the story of Prophet Elisha and his servant. And as we read the story, remember the natural number in the natural is not the kingdom number. 2 Kings 6:15 through 17. Elisha and his servant were facing a whole host of enemies. There was two to I don't know how many. Does anyone know the odds? Have the number of who they, how many they were facing? They were surrounded. There were lots of them. Tell your neighbor, there were lots of them. The odds were totally against them, okay? 2 Kings 6:15 through 17. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So God gave them a miraculous victory in face of overwhelming odds. The kingdom number is overwhelmingly in our favor. Although we hear in America of so much evil and crime and all the reports from London, just what, in one day? So much evil and disaster and killing. And this is what Satan does. This is what Satan does in the earth. He kills, steals, and destroys. He gets a hold of people's minds, and that's what he does. Our God is a God of love. Our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ask or think. By the power of the Holy Spirit that is working in us. That explosive power is on the inside of us. Our God is able. So the kingdom number is overwhelmingly in our favor when we are going to battle for God. Do you know you're in a battle all the time? Do you ever get, you know, you get a little fatigued? Battle fatigued? You have to take a little R&R? But it seems like in this life it's a constant opposition. And not everything is the devil. You know, sometimes you just didn't put oil in the car and the engine doesn't work right. Or you didn't service the lawnmower before winter and it doesn't work right. We can blame all those things on the devil, but it's not really the devil. Tell your neighbor, it's not all the devil. Now tell him some of it's me. Some of it's you. Is that what you said? I was trying to be nice and put it on, you know, myself here. But there are millions of angels that have been sent to assist the servants of God. Hebrews 12:22 says it's an innumerable company of angels. So we're not able to number how many angels there are. We know that 1/3 of the angels fell when Lucifer rebelled. 1/3 of them fell with him. That means there were 2/3 left. So that means that we know the odds are at least 2 to 1 when it comes to fallen angels. And this means that there are far more angels for us than fallen angels against us. And for all we know, God could have created more angels. As the population has multiplied, maybe he made more. As assignments in the earth, he knows what's going to come. And he knows we need angelic help. We can't do this by ourselves. We're not smart enough. We're not strong enough. We need supernatural divine help from above. And God has provided it, just like he provided it for Elisha. The story of Lucifer falling is in Ezekiel 28. If you want to read that, go back and study that. But Lucifer was a worship leader, right? He was in charge of the music of heaven. He was the cherub that covered the throne. And in Ezekiel, it says the workmanship of his tabrets and pipes were prepared in him. So not only did he provide the music for heaven, he was the music. Do you get that? The pipes, the sound of the melodies were in him. The tambrets were the drums and the cymbals. All of that was in him. And when he fell from heaven, music fell also. And he uses that to trap people in the world. Music is powerful. It's powerful. And we can choose to listen to demon music. It's fallen music. Or we can choose to listen to worship music that honors God. And we've got to guard our heart and mind. People say, oh, well, that doesn't affect me. Oh, yes, it does. Whether you realize it or not, it's going into your subconscious programming. And isn't it interesting how you go into a store and they're playing a song, and that song will get stuck in your head. Did you ever have a song stuck in your head? And you almost have to sing to get it out of there. Some of those songs that stick are not honoring to God. Anyway, that's a whole nother subject. But when Lucifer fell, he took 1/3 of the angels with him. And they are sent to minister to the heirs of salvation, the H-E-I-R, heirs, or H-I-E-R, H-E-I-R, heirs of salvation. That's us. Tell your neighbor, that's me. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, the angels, and fire, and how this all connects together with the day of Pentecost. Psalm 104:4 says, "Who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire." Hebrews 1:7 and 14 says, "And of the angels," he says, "he makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" So the angels have an assignment, and that is to minister to those who inherit salvation. And tell your neighbor that's you. When we look at the Greek words in this scripture, a minister is a servant or a worshiper of God. The flame is a flash, a blaze, or tongue of fire, lightning. To make is to cause, to endow someone with a certain quality. Angels are ministers of flames of fire. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was supervising angels who ministered fresh fire. Now, how do we know angels minister fire from the throne of God? We're going to study that in a minute because your minds are churning. How does that work? You don't think Holy Spirit is the only spirit in the earth working for God, do you? There's a whole company of angels that have assignments that work alongside Holy Spirit. Now, we never worship angels. No. And people will come up with the name of their angel. I would encourage you, unless God gives you a profound revelation and it's confirmed through a known prophet, don't go there. Just don't go there. But my teaching this morning is to help enlighten you to understand that God has angelic hosts on assignment for you, for our church, for this region. And they minister fire. They're flames of fire. Let's go on here. Acts 2:3 through 4 says this. "Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So the tongues of fire sat upon them, and the tongues of fire were sent to birth the church. Because there was a shift that had taken place from the old covenant to the new covenant. Do you remember Jesus said that we would drink of the new covenant of his blood? That's why he came. There was a force from heaven, a rushing mighty wind, fire that came to shift the church and release the energy that we needed for the next level of ministry to establish the kingdom of God in the earth to fulfill God's campaign. Let's go on. The 120 on the day of Pentecost had tongues of fire set upon everyone in the upper room. So there was a transitioning taking place. As I said, they were moving from old covenant into new covenant. They were moving into a new level of authority and ministry. When the shift began, the cloven tongues or divided tongues of fire accompanied the Holy Spirit and sat on them. Jesus had issued orders before he left the world that he was establishing the kingdom of God in the earth. So when you read the first two chapters of Acts, It's all about his campaign that he is initiating here on the earth. The purpose of the upper room was to unify the church and cause them to participate in the empowerment and the deliverance, or the delivery of his Holy Spirit. So when we talk about Pentecost or Holy Spirit baptism, we're not simply focusing on the personal blessing or refreshing it brings. In the days of Pentecost, there was a new move that began that was initiated by God, and the saints needed to be prepared and empowered to be God's kingdom extensions in the earth. Tell your neighbor you're a kingdom extension. Now tell them, and you need the power. The dunamis power. So the 120 turned the world upside down. So angels accompanying the Holy Spirit were firing up the saints to move. Do you see that? A movement is to get you moving. And sometimes we need a fire to get us going, right? So I'm going to go back to this taking fire from God's altar. And we're going to look at Ezekiel 1:13. As for the likeness of the living creatures, Ezekiel was explaining a vision around of what he saw around the throne of God. And he said, as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. Like the appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. So like the appearance of torches going back and forth, the angels appeared as flashes of light or tongues of fire. The NLT says that living beings looked like brilliant torches as though lightning was flashing back and forth among them. The basic English translation says that between the living beings, it looked as if flames were chasing after each other across burning coals of fire. This is what it looked like on the day of Pentecost. The angels were ministering fresh fire from God's altar. And it's from this passage that describes what angels do and what their appearance are. We have in our mind by drawings what we think angels look like, right? You have a few? Maybe some statues of angels. Well, the angels are flames of fire. Let's go to Isaiah 6:6-8. And this was the dedication of the temple. And the presence of the Lord had filled the temple. And Isaiah said, as he was laying out in the presence of God, no one could move. He said, then one seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the with tongs from the altar. So he is carrying that coal in his hand, and he had taken it from the altar of God with tongs. So you must not have been allowed to put your fingers. You know, your mom tells you, don't put your fingers in that dish. Get the tongs, right? So the angel picked up that with tongs, put it in his hand, and he took it and he touched my mouth, Isaiah said. And he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. The fire from the altar of God touched him and took away his iniquity. And then Isaiah says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Spiros, a Greek scholar, described it this way. He said the Hebrew word for seraphim means a winged angel that appears as a brilliant, glowing flame of fire. This gives us the mental picture of angels flying with the live coals of fire, fresh fire from God's altar at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was accompanied by a whole angelic host of angels. On the day of Pentecost, that was releasing fresh fire from the altar of God. Tongues of fire. God has released to us a whole host of angels to help us. And the purpose of this message today is to awaken the revelation on the inside of you so that you will see like Elijah's prophet, our servant, saw what God is doing for you. It isn't woe is me and I can't make it and we're never going to get through this battle and we're never going to get through this season of dryness and the word of the Lord is never going to be fulfilled. If that is where you're living, stop it. Amen. Jesus has provided everything that we need for this life and for godliness, and that includes angels who are sent on assignment to minister to each one of us. And God wants us to open up our eyes to receive what he's given us. Do you want to see what God's given you? Boy, I want to see it. I want to know it. God confirms his word. Tell your neighbor, God will confirm this to you. God will confirm this to you because he is faithful. If anyone here today has not received the Lord Jesus Christ into your hearts as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to do that today. Receive him today. And I'm going to pray a prayer that God will open our eyes to see his heavenly activity, to encourage us. Sometimes we just need a little bit of encouragement in the midst of everything going on. Do you agree? Because we can get into that woe is me. All of us can, because we're human. So we need God's help. And thank you, Lord, that you're merciful, that you're kind, that you love us, that you're forgiving, that you're for us and not against us. I would not want God against me. You wouldn't stand a chance. Is that right? You know, you think it's bad the devil's against you. Well, the devil doesn't have all power. God has all power, and God is for us. So let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to teach us about the angels that you have sent on assignment to help us. Lord, we ask you to confirm this teaching to us over the next few weeks, that you are working with us. And that you have given us everything we need to connect heaven to earth. As your kingdom connectors, we thank you, Lord. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Let's stand up and give the Lord a praise this morning. Amen.